Well, we know that mental illness is a growing problem in the community amongst men, amongst older Australians, amongst people living in regional Australia where services are stretched. But what we perhaps didn't know really fully was that the rates of mental illness are also growing amongst the very young. A report released this week found the proportion of children under the age of 12 years old suffering serious mental health problems has increased over the last 4 years. Australia's independent National Mental Health Commission says unless more resources are directed at young people, rates of mental illness amongst young children will just continue to grow. Dr. Peggy Brown is the Commission's Chief Executive. Peggy Brown, welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning.
I'm starting at the hard edge of this, which is suicide rates, which we know that suicide is the leading cause of death for young people between 5 and 17 years old. What is going on? Why is suicide rates rising? Why is the rate of mental illness amongst such a young group of Australians growing?
Fran, I think the simple answer is we don't know. Suicide is a complex phenomenon, but it's an absolute tragedy when you have children between the ages of 5 and 17 in particular ending their own lives. I think there are many things happening in this world that perhaps do contribute to young people getting to the point where they think they don't want to live this life. I think the growth of social media, the phenomenon of cyberbullying, but there's just increasing stresses in life. We see children reporting more concerns about school, about whether or not they'll be able to, get a job in the future, whether they'll be able to afford a house, about their body image. So a whole range of factors that I think do contribute.
And as I say, suicide is the extreme edge of that. So we will bring this conversation back to the more broad issue of mental illness. But we, I think, should deal with the issue that has been in the news in relatively recent times, the inquest into the death of 13 young Indigenous kids in the Kimberley. Five of those children were aged between 10 and 13. I mean, that's almost a local epidemic, isn't it?
Oh, it is, absolutely, a local epidemic. But unfortunately, it's occurring and it continues to occur not just in the Kimberley. I mean, the Kimberley's got one of the highest rates, I think, in the world of Indigenous suicide. But, I was in the Northern Territory yesterday. We're hearing, events up there, particularly in Aboriginal communities, and rates of suicide in communities there. So it's not just isolated to one pocket. And I think it is, as I said, it's a complex phenomenon, but at the end of the day, suicide is about people who've lost hope and see no way forward.
And in Indigenous communities, that loss of hope is writ large, I suppose. We've been seeing that for a long time, which is what the whole Closing the Gap strategies is in part to deal with, isn't it?
That's exactly right, yes.
Let's talk more broadly about your findings about the mental health issues for children. Even children, we're talking about age 0 to 12, are on the increase. How do we recognise that a young child, Peggy, a child, a five-year-old, a seven-year-old, a 10-year-old, might be developing mental health issues?
Look, I think, that there are things that you can be looking out for, but I think the primary concern would just be a change in the child. Particularly in relation to their sleep, in relation to eating, going to school, particularly, in terms of being anxious about separating from parents. I mean, it may manifest in a range of different ways, behavioural problems, obviously. But it's not necessarily the same as you might see in an adult who might manifest, clear depressive symptoms or clear psychotic symptoms. Often much more subtle, but most parents will be able to say to you, something's wrong, something's changed, and I need some help. And unfortunately, what we hear far too often is that they struggle to find appropriate help.
So, and I guess parents aren't the only one that should be on the lookout for this, because sometimes if the issues are anxiety, they may be partly to do with what's going on at home. So it's not just parents who should be on the lookout for change, I guess.
No, absolutely not. I mean, grandparents, early childhood, workers, teachers, sports coaches, etc. There's a whole range of people who interact with with young children who are in a position to think, something's not quite right there.
So what, in your view, is needed? You talk about more resources, but resources like what? I think one of the ideas you propose is the establishment of wellbeing centres for vulnerable children. What would that look like?
Yes, well, this was a recommendation that we made in the 2014 report that the Commission put out on the review of mental health programs and services. I guess recognising that we think more needs to be done to ensure that children have a healthy start to life. The concept is that you could have something akin to what a Headspace Centre does now. And our Headspace brings together a range of services in one place in a destigmatised environment, out in the community, where young people can come and access help, you know, when they need it, and it's inviting to them. For children and their families, let's face it, if we're talking about under 12, it would have to involve their families. It's about having a similar concept where they can come in a readily accessible place. Now, it might be attached to the school, it might be attached to the early childhood centre, or somewhere else in the community, and they can access help for an assessment for their child or indeed for the family and how the family's functioning, and then receive help or be referred off if necessary for specialist input.
Should we be looking at this across the whole of education system? I recall that in South Australia, the state signed up to build a resilience building program within the school, across the school system, based on linked with Martin Seligman's research of positive psychology. Is that a good idea? Should we be looking at something entrenched like that, not just at individual schools who choose to take up resilience building, but generally?
Yes, look, I mean, some schools are doing that now, and there certainly is some evidence to suggest that building resilience does have an effect in terms of reducing the vulnerability to onset of mental illness in life. So, yes, I think there's certainly some merit in that. I think, there are some who would dispute that the evidence base is not there to roll that out right across the board, but I certainly think it's worth some thought.
And just finally, you mentioned social media. We had the tragic death of Amy Dolly Everett, 14-year-old, in January, and the notion of whole cyberbullying. There was a research paper released just last year that found that mental health issues or major changes in teens' lives trace the higher incidence of mental illness trace back to the sudden ascendance of the smartphone. Can we see a change from that point? I mean, that's pretty recent history.
Look, I don't actually know that research, Bran, but it wouldn't surprise me. There's certainly, I think, a lot of anxiety that's created by young people engaging on phones and in social media. Anxiety about their social relationships, about their identity, about their body image, and all of that is exacerbated by the 24/7 nature of social media. Now, hopefully young children are not on their phones 24/7, but we have seen a much greater prevalence of young people actually having their own phone. I think it was the number one Christmas present I read somewhere.
I'm sure it was. All right, Peggy, thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure.
Dr. Peggy Brown, CEO of the National Mental Health Commission. And if anyone you know needs help, you can call Lifeline on 131114. But one thing we should all know is that we've got a problem if our 0 to 12-year-olds are having growing incidence of mental illness.